to order City of University Heights City Council meeting today, September 8th, 2026. Welcome, everyone. I call the meeting to order, and four council are present. Doug Swales is not present tonight. So with that, we'll go to approval of minutes, the August 11th minutes. The minutes were circulated by our city clerk. Are there any additions, corrections, or objections to any of the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone. We'll go on to administration or public input. We have some members of the public other than the Johnson County officials. Does anybody like to speak to the, okay, why don't you come up here to the music stand? Welcome. Can you state your
thank
name
you.
And address?
Yeah, I'm Erin Schreiber, and I live at 100 Sunset Street. So I wanted to thank you all for the wonderful work you're doing for the city. Of course, I don't come on the day to tell you what a wonderful job you're doing. I'm here to ask for your help. I'm looking for some follow-up on the construction, parking, and new short-term rentals at 104 Sunset Street. My husband and I sent emails last week, and we really appreciate the responses from Mayor Fromm and Ms. Dwyer. Thank you for responding to our emails. We understand that there's going to be a report that was generated, and we're looking forward to hearing about that. R1 single family residence that is now advertised as a two bedroom Airbnb and is alluding to the fact that there will be three units in this single family home. So we're looking for information. Is three units actually legal? What are the legal implications of that? What are the rules? And looking forward to hearing what you have to say there. I also understand that the owner told Terry Gortz that he was going to widen the driveway by 1 to 2 concrete pavers, but in fact added two to three parking spots. If that is true, we're just wondering if there, what's the status on the permitting, and if you misrepresent your intentions as a city, are there any implications for that? So thank you very much for the work that you're doing, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Erin. Now, our city building inspector will be on Zoom.
Okay.
And he's coming in, but not right at the, he had something to do,
no
and
worries,
I'll text him and see what time he's come. Could you
he's
stay
there,
for that?
Terry's just coming in right now.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Erin. Would anyone else like to speak to the council tonight? Oh, Brennan. Welcome, Brennan.
Thank you.
Brennan's a former council member.
That is true. Now I'm an empowered citizen with a folder. Look out. Brennan McGrath, 327 Kozer Avenue. I'm also here seeking some assistance. Our next door neighbors at 325 Kozer were residents there for many years. They've moved out about 4 years ago and have converted the house into a rental. We're on our fourth group of renters. They've had multiple issues at the house. Not to get too deep into the history of it, but I always tried to lend a hand over there. They were raising a young child, and the father was away quite a bit. And so I tried to assist in the regular maintaining of the yard and keeping the snow cleared and the sidewalk and the driveway. But since it's been a rental, I've tried to kind of give the new renters the lay of the land and whatnot. But it's become very apparent that this house is just never really maintained at all. And so the newest occurrence of that, unfortunately, led us into a situation which brings me here tonight. I believe it was the last full week of June. The owner did stop by and notify us that they were going to be redoing the main sewer line into the house. And being a visual person, I'll just kind of leave you or show you what we were left with. With that project, of course, they unearthed all the clay that's underneath our topsoil here and kind of left it there. And I became concerned and asked her through text messaging if someone was coming back to deal with the landscaping. And she said she was told by Roto-Rooter that she needed to let the ground settle for at least a month or two before any landscaping was done. So I ended up after the we kind of got into that second month, that's when I contacted the building. Actually, I reached out to Tim. He directed me to the building inspector, which was helpful. He basically came over and looked at it and said there was really nothing he could do. There was really no violations. My main concern was just the aesthetics of the overall project and where it lie. And there was one item in particular, which I'll get to, but he basically said there's really nothing I can do. If there were some kind of erosion situation here, maybe I could talk to him about that. But we're on top of a hill, so that's not going to be a problem. Well, the rain came and it all just washed into the sidewalk and the street. So I took some pictures and sent them to the inspector. He notified her, and of course, 3 weeks transpired. He gave her a timeline to mitigate this erosion problem, and this was her solution. Our corgi Lily here is inspecting the work, but it was basically two sandbags and two wooden blocks, which in no way was going to mitigate any erosion at all. But again, then when I talked to the building inspector, he says there's actually nothing in the ordinance that says exactly how they need to mitigate it. So this was her attempt, and that was basically the best that she could do, and I guess that was going to be acceptable. Luckily, we didn't get any. That's kind of when the dry season came, and we didn't get any rain. But she did end up having a company come and do landscaping, and basically what they did is they tilled up the soil, threw down a bunch of seed and some straw, and then they threw down rock, which around the area that I was most concerned about, which are these drainage cleanouts that are in front of the house. And these are actually being used in several projects that I've seen around the city. But typically what people do is they then cut those off at the ground level so you don't see them. So I saw this and thought, well, maybe she's going to plant shrubs around it to kind of hide that. I talked to the city inspector about it, and that's what brought me here tonight, is that he said there was nothing in the ordinance that said that those cleanouts needed to be cut. They could just stay at that length, that there was nothing in the ordinance that he could do to enforce that. So I leave it to you to come up with something creative if it's an aesthetic issue. As I mentioned, they tilled up the ground and they put down the seed, which will be great. They're not watering it or anything, so we're probably going to have to wait till spring to see any new grass. But my main concern are those cleanouts, and it's unfortunate that there's not something existing in the ordinance. But I guess I would chalk it up to common sense and how people would, as aesthetically pleasing, that I guess that's not the situation in this. In this moment, and what she's had done is had rock put down around the pipes, so now nothing will grow. And unless that she was to dig up that rock and plant some shrubs around it at a later date, I don't know. But I don't at this point really want to get more involved in this situation than I already am. And so I leave it to you, and hopefully by bringing this to your attention, I don't know if we can mitigate this situation, but maybe future situations would require a change. So I'll leave that to you. Thank you for
Thanks,
the time
Brian.
that
I
you've given me.
appreciate you explaining it to council, and you did try to go through channels that you know. And I think we can talk with Troy, our city administrator, too, and we'll take it over from here now that we're aware of this. And maybe Brian Jensen can help too. And I don't know if it's something Steve Ballard, our city attorney, has any issues with that at all. But we'll work on it from here on
Yeah,
out.
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
You
and from my
good?
experience, I know a picture says a thousand words.
Yeah.
Hopefully that helped as
Yeah,
well.
it
So
does help. Thank
thank
you
you.
very much.
Thank
That's
you.
right. Okay. Does anyone else like to speak to the council tonight? Okay. Now, we have visitors here from Johnson County. The officials, this is their annual visit. And we just are so grateful that you're coming tonight. I see we've got, four officials. Does anyone want to start talking?
Okay.
Scott, you want to start?
Sure.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. 5 years from now, well, we hit our 5th year. I plan to bring presents for everybody to commemorate.
Just make sure everybody knows you.
Oh, yeah.
Say.
Scott Finlayson. I'm the guy who you all send money to every year, several times, to keep things running. So I'm the treasurer. So thanks for having us. We started this a couple of years ago. Want to make sure we get out to hear what you guys want to tell us as much as we can tell you where things are going in the county. One thing that happened 2 weeks ago is we changed the name of our eponym. to Merle Johnson. I don't know if any of you got to come out to that ceremony, but it was actually quite nice. And I just thought I'd bring this for you guys to keep. But this is the history of the person who our eponym's after.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. If you have a coffee table somewhere, feel free to slap that on there. Enjoy. Big news from Treasurer's Office. Our electronic updates of payments has become fully realized. You can now set up an account on Iowa Tax and Tags. You can set up payments by month as long as your full taxes are paid. And we can do ACHs to pull from your account without you doing anything. It'll update the next year as long as you keep your information current. And so we're fully in the 21st century since I've been at the job for 17 years. So pretty proud accomplishment for that. And the auditor may talk about this more, but just for you all, just like for us, just be aware. We talked about this last year. That's coming to more fruition. The state's putting some rather hard collars on local governments to be aware of. The amount we can ask for is collared, and then also the amount we can carry forward is now being collared too. So just have your staff look at that and make sure they're aware of those hindrances moving forward financially for all of us. And with that, I'll pass on to the next person.
Thank you, Scott. Hi, Julie. Well done.
Hello. I'm Julie Persons. I'm the county auditor. If you didn't know, there is an election in less than 2 months. We will start voting on October 14th, and we will have voting available every single day of the 20 days, every Saturday, Sunday. We're doing 3 evenings. We're going to have our drive-through open. We're going to have 9 different satellites out in the county. So we're giving everybody the opportunity to vote in person this year. I know a lot of people are very, very concerned about what's going on with the mail and the potential for the mail and all the ballot issues. So if people are really worried about that, they can vote early in person. Again, our drive-through, you can sit in your car, so you can, you don't have to be around people if it's a thing like that. Also, we're going to have our Dropbox open 24 hours a day. It is under camera monitoring. So if people don't trust the mail, they don't want to put it back in the mail. If they have a mail ballot, they can drop it off at our building right in the Dropbox and know that that is going to go straight into our office. So as you're talking to people, everybody's been talking about it. The more we can, as elected officials, help each other spread the word. If they have questions, stop by our office. We're always willing to talk to people, but we're really going to be here and try to make sure everybody gets the chance to vote and feel comfortable with how they're voting. So, big election this year will be a lot of fun. Other than that, as Scott was saying, a lot of changes with property taxes that also changed some of the laws around TIF. We are waiting on the Department of Management to finalize some stuff, and then they're going to be giving us training on it. So by the time we do TIF for you guys in December, Tara will know everything. She'll be able to work with Mike like she always does and make sure we can answer the questions because we want to make sure all of our towns get all the right TIF money. It's very important because you guys do really great work with that. So we are here if you need us. But feel free to talk.
Thank you, Julie.
Yeah.
And we have Rachel.
Rachel Zimmerman Smith, Johnson County Attorney. I spend more than my fair share in University Heights. You all know, mostly at Maggie's and Sidekick. At that point. The County Attorney's Office is very busy. We had about 3,700 indictable cases last year. We currently have 4 pending murder cases. I know that's not a sunny way to start. But it's just important for everybody to know that we have, very serious responsibilities. We have a great staff that handles it and great partnerships with local law enforcement, including your own chief, Chris Akers, who I see at least once a month at our chief's meeting. I really appreciate having him be a part of it. I am also very busy representing. My office represents all of folks back here in every county department and the Board of Supervisors. So as you can imagine, that continues to keep us busy. So I just want to thank you for what you all do and hope that my office is always here to help. I'm really proud to serve all of you and you know where to find me.
Thank you, Rachel. Sheriff.
5 minutes. That's, hey guys, Brad Kunkel, Johnson County Sheriff. I'm supposed to watch you for some reason. That's what I was told before I came here.
Very well done.
I can't tell you where my information came from. Normally, I just stand here and tell you how good of a job I'm doing, and I could certainly do that. But the other big thing I have in my world thinking for it is we're trying to get a bond referendum passed for a sheriff's office and jail. So in addition to everything else going on in the midterms in November is the bond. As a lot of you know, the county's tried this before. The last bond referendum was in 2013 for a justice center. That was about a $43.5 million bond that failed to hit 60%. It got 54% of the vote, but it wasn't enough to get to the 60. So here we are again, 13 years later, trying a new project, kind of a different angle this time, now a standalone sheriff's office and jail to be located just west of here on IWV. The jail component of the building would have 140 bed capacity, and then the sheriff's office piece of it would be the remainder of what my operation does. I have 112 employees at the sheriff's office, and a little less than half work in the jail. Everybody else does the rest of the work for the sheriff's office. So we're a big agency, and it's important to know that when you're talking about this or hearing about it or have questions, that it's not just the jail. This isn't a bond referendum for the jail. It's the sheriff's office and the jail. The price tag on the bond referendum is $94.5 million. That covers construction, furnishing, and also paying back essentially to the county what they spent purchasing the property. The bond would be for 12 years. The tax increase would be $88 per $100,000 of taxable value. That's very important to understand. It's the taxable amount, not your assessed amount. The county has a great website called johnsoncountyjailbond.com or I can't remember what it's com. There's a tax calculator on there to look at, so you can look at your parcel, look at that taxable number, put that in, and that will show you what the tax increase would be. I think on average is about $20 a month per Johnson County resident. The idea is to not only meet the needs that we have right now, but 30 years, 40 years, 50 years down the road. Our current building at 511 South Capitol is 45 years old. It's kind of fallen apart around us. We're currently spending $3.2 million just to keep it habitable, keep the structure secure, as well as the roof and the HVAC. But no matter what, that doesn't address any of the other operational or growth or overcrowding problems that we have. The jail is built with 46 beds. We have 92 beds, but that doesn't mean we hold 92 people. And my operational capacity is 65. So to manage that number, we house out of county. Right now, I have about 40 inmates out of county. And last year, we spent about $420,000 on out-of-county housing. The other thing I just leave with a bit of trivia. What do Delaware, Lee, Washington, Henry, Muscatine, Lynn, and get it up to seven. What do all those counties have in common?
You get a check from Johnson.
That's exactly right. Those are all the counties I'm housing inmates in right now, because we don't have enough space in our jail, so we have to house out of county. So we're as far away as Lee County, Delaware County, and then anywhere else we can. That problem's getting worse because of some law changes, and also over time, the jail population is doing this. We spend millions in this community in the world of jail diversion, and a lot of those things work really, really well. And I think that's why our day-to-day population is growing at this rate and not this rate. And a lot of those programs really work, and we need to have the capacity for today and 30 years down the road. So you're welcome to come take a tour sometime. I do tours pretty regularly. If you're ever interested in coming to see for yourself, you've probably seen some of the signs popping up around town, but otherwise happy to answer any questions you may have sometime. Shoot me an email. If you want to come take a tour, let me know. Either we can go through Troy, you can organize it or something, but welcome anytime. So thanks for what you do. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Sharon. Any questions for any of them? Thank you very much for coming tonight. We really appreciate your annual reports. Thank you. Thanks again. You can stay as long as you want.
Sure.
Thanks again. So I see that Perry Gert is here now. He zoomed in. And so if council's okay, we'll have a report from Terry. Terry, can you hear okay?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Can you turn him up a little?
I am as loud as we can go.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'd like you to go through some of the history of the property owner that people are questioning, you know, 104 Sunset, whether they're following our ordinances and what they're doing.
Sure, sure. So what I received a phone call probably 3 weeks ago from this gentleman. He was looking at buying the property.
Terry? Just
yes.
Listen, Nick is actually here tonight too. So
yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went through things with him, and at first he was only going to go ahead and widen his driveway by 1 foot. Well, if you know 104 Sunset, he probably has more lot frontage than any property in town. I think he's well over 250 lineal feet of lot frontage. Okay, so I figured by only adding a foot to his existing driveway was no big deal. I decided I wasn't going to mess with the building permit for 1 foot. That was probably 2 weeks ago. Well, when Saturday, 2 weeks ago on Saturday, they went ahead and they were going to start doing the work, and they added a little bit more than what was we talked about. He did put a parking pad in the front yard. So I had stopped there. I was out of town. I stopped there and talked to the actual contractor, who was really nice. He says, yeah, we're just putting a parking pad there. And we were widening out the driveway probably 2 foot instead of 1 foot. And they were going to put a walking path around to the backside of the house, which would front on Melrose. I said, well, you're probably going to need to get a permit to do this. So I called up Nick, and boom, he went ahead and applied for a building permit. I've got it sitting here right on my desk, ready to approve it. He is well within the one third that he can go ahead and pave. I mean, so that's not an issue. So I don't see an issue with it. But that's how all this transpired. Does anybody have any questions on any of that, or be more than happy to answer?
I guess I'm going to bring up Aaron's question about it becoming potentially three units in a single family home, and maybe that's more directed towards Steve than you, Terry. I'm not sure, but what does that look like? Is that...
It's not, it's, I talked to the owner, I talked to Nick, he's there. Nick is going to use that as a single family dwelling. My understanding, he might use it as a, what do they call that, BRBO or whatever. You know, he might rent out a room. He might rent out the basement for a short term. He's not converting it to a duplex. No way could he convert it to a duplex. The way that house was built, I mean, you'd have to put in a separate furnace to make it into a duplex. You'd have to provide 1 hour separations to make it into a duplex. And that's kind of hard to do when you have an existing structure. You know, I don't get into a lot of the BRBOs or whatever they're called in the rental portion of it. You know, my counterpart, Brian Jensen, does. He's very schooled in it. And I'm sure he would be on top of it if it turned into, you know, maybe a unit, a rental unit of some sort someday. But the owner assures me that he's going to be living there. I guess I don't, you know, I'm sure the neighbors were wondering what was going on when they started seeing some of the bushes and other things being moved and some dirt being moved. But as far as I'm concerned, he's well within the, you know, requirements for installing some pavers and parking, you know, My understanding was that that quote unquote parking pad out front was so they could back up and actually drive out into onto Sunset instead of backing out because you've got cars coming across Melrose at a decent speed, that he didn't want to create an accident of any sort. But so I'm more than.
Thanks. Oh, sorry. I was going to say thanks for your explanation on everything. I think from my perspective this week, I have a lot of neighbors just come to me with this house in particular, but I don't necessarily think it's even the fact that it's this house. I think it's just the ongoing trend we keep seeing in the neighborhood of homes being purchased and then either turned into a rental or an Airbnb, and kind of the idea of how can we better preserve our maintenance standards in our neighborhood. And so, Steve, I've been putting together a lot of questions and we'll meet with you, but just wondering, like, are there ways that we can be a little bit more strict on certain things so that maybe we're, and don't I even say deterring people from purchasing homes for rentals, because we have some great renters, we have some great rental properties. I'm young families and enjoyable folks that really keep up their yard and everything, but I know the state kind of has us tied, their hands tied as far as capping rentals, but at some point I feel like, when does the neighborhood just turn into a tailgating spot for the city to utilize it, no longer a neighborhood? And what does that look like? So I'm going to personally do some digging, and hopefully I'll work with you, Steve. Perry, I may reach out to you, but I kind of wanted to get everyone else's opinion. Like I said, I got a lot of feedback from neighbors kind of over here on the north side, but would love feedback from everyone else.
I think Troy wants to comment.
If I might just offer a little perspective to council in regards to this specific property, this owner did not come in and just start to do this without making any notification to the city. This owner, when he was considering buying the property, contacted the city about the rules, both as VRBOs, as potential rental property, and some of the changes that would need to be done to the property. He was referred to appropriate staff. He was referred to Terry Garrett. He was referred to the city clerk regarding getting accurate information on any allowed use of it as a rental property or a VRBO and necessary steps that would need to be done. So it may seem like to Aaron or some of the others that this just is happening overnight. But this has been ongoing. He's been asking questions before he purchased it, wanting to know, first of all, can I make these changes? And second of all, I want to make sure that I'm doing them in accordance to any rules and regulations in the city before I purchase this property. So I just, in relation to this specific property, I just wanted to make sure council was aware that nothing has tried to do everything. He's made the right inquiries and he's looking for the information to do things according to all citizen regulations.
Yeah. I live on the other side, so I know Nick. I don't know if you want to, he came in after the public comment. I don't know
Oh,
if you have
sure.
a chance
You
to
can.
talk.
Yeah, maybe just a quick comment
Yeah, you
somewhat.
want to come up here and state your name and address and
Yeah,
this
my
is real
legal name is
formal,
Naveen
just so.
Kalia. People call me Nick, but yeah, so maybe I'll just quickly say I have no intention of turning this into a multiplex. It's my home. It'll never have any renters. I do travel a lot.
Oh, are you the new owner?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm the troublemaker that everyone seems to hate.
Oh.
I don't know what I did, but for some reason,
So.
I'm the most hated person
Oh.
within a week and a half. But anyways, I travel a lot for work. And there are a lot of other people that seem to be doing what I intended to do,
Sure.
but for some reason, me doing it is creating a lot of havoc. which is kind of interesting, and I'll just point that out. When a family rents out their home, because like I don't watch football. I hope that's not a sacrilegious thing to say. I like wrestling, I don't like football, but I do I'll take that weekend and rent it out to people who want to come and watch the Iowa State game, and I'll go do something else. Like, I'm not sure what is criminal about that. Hopefully there is not any now or ever will be, and but you can come and look at it, 2 months from now, 6 months from now. There will never be any renters. There will never be any multiplex. And for the record, Airbnb, as many Airbnbers do, you can choose to rent your whole home, or you can choose to rent a room, or you can choose to rent your basement. There is nothing, I'm not segmenting my home. I'm offering it because sometimes somebody's coming to town as an individual. I don't need a whole your whole 5-bedroom home. I just need a room to rent, and I want to come and see the game. Or there may be a group of 6 people and they want to stay in the bigger. So I offer it in different configurations depending on who's coming to town for the games or a medical conference or whatever it is. So that's kind of the extent of the story. I have a, and just on the other parking front, and again, I looked at this very carefully. I have 125 square foot, sorry, 125 lot frontage, as far as I'm aware. I looked at the ordinance. It says front set, it's 1/3 of front setback. And I talked to Terry about this weeks before I bought. 125 times 25 divided by 1/3 is 1,041 point whatever square feet. I have two, when I bought this home, I have technically 280, not 260 square foot frontage. With all due respect to Nick, he has almost his whole frontage is his part. I mean, you know what I mean? Like with the wine. So I'm just trying to understand why this home is not allowed what other homes are allowed very clearly. And so that's, I'm trying to get to the bottom of that.
Sure.
And so I think everyone here should be aware, including the attorneys and so on. If I get the impression, and I'll just say this for the record, if I get the impression that I'm being non-uniformly treated, I will have to treat that accordingly. So that's all I want to say. If there's any questions, I'm happy to address them. But as far as I've been talking to Terry, I've been chasing Terry for at least 6 weeks before I bought this property. And Mike will tell you, I couldn't get a hold of Mike because I was trying to get the thing registered. I called the University Police Department and asked the officer. I said, "Dude, how does this city work?
I see.
I call, I leave messages, no one returns my call. Is there anyone that actually works in the city?" And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I was like, "Can you help me get a hold of this guy? Because I'm told that you have to register your property before you even put it up, as I'm sure here." So again, I've been trying my best to adhere to everything, but for some reason, it's like a tidal wave as soon as I came on board. So it doesn't make any sense to me. I'll stop there, but like that's kind of the
Well,
story.
you know, the Beldos owned that property since 1964. And so for over 60 years, the families had that property. And when the neighborhood goes through some changes, it's like, oh, this is different. We have some question. We want to make sure everything's done legally and properly. And I'm sorry you feel attacked by it. And, by that, I don't think people intended that. They wanted to find out more information.
Well,
And
somebody
I'm
literally
so
parked
glad
in
you
front of
came.
somebody
I
literally
missed
blocked
your name. What is your name?
Naveen.
Oh, okay.
You
Nice to
call
meet
me
you.
Nick,
I'm
but
Louise.
okay.
Anyway,
Yeah, no problem.
thank you. And my on the website, my phone number's there too.
Okay.
You can reach me if you want.
Okay.
But people in the neighborhood had concerns when things go under, new changes and things, and we want to make sure everything's done right. And I'm glad that you're here and will explain that to the council, and we really appreciate that. And I want to welcome you to the city, and glad to have you. And we just wanted to get some answers. And I know it feels, I understand that people stop by and talk to you. And when changes were coming,
Well,
when you
somebody
first
literally
moved in.
blocked my driveway and started interrogating me, and they
Oh.
had no city official title.
I think her name is Caroline. I'm not sure who she is, but apparently she's has this reputation. But I'm sorry, if you come to my property in an unfriendly manner and you interrogate me and you have no official role here, that's not exactly the best way to endear me towards you. And so again, this is less than 24 hours of me owning this property. So again, I'm trying to understand, and I was jokingly saying this to Terry, like, I'm like, did I come to University Heights or am I being sent to Guantanamo Bay? Like, this is what this last week has felt like. I'm not going to lie. Anyways,
I'll stop there. City administrator, will you tell me, don't name names, but have you had any negative contact with any city official?
No, that's what I, one thing I will be very clear, and the email I sent was very clear. Mike's been great. Troy's been great. Terry's been great. I will never speak ill of anyone but also try to understand from my perspective.
I do.
Like, I literally approached the city and said, I'm thinking about buying. Can you tell me? Because everyone warned me about University Heights. Literally, everyone's like, don't buy there. They're crazy. Literally, everyone said this. They're like, they're crazy. They're hyper controlling and all this kind of stuff. And I talked to Terry and I talked to Mike. I'm like, no, they seem normal. In fact, Terry, and I will hold Terry to this comment. He said, don't worry. Our bark is worse than our bite. And I'm just standing here before you saying, sorry, that bite feels pretty strong to me. It feels like a freaking pit bull at the moment. But anyway, so all I ask is, like, either be straight with your rules.
I believe
if the rules are no Airbnb allowed, no anything allowed, I should have been told that ahead of time.
Right.
Because I wouldn't have bought here.
Naveen, I believe the city has been consistent in that.
Right.
Some community members may not
right.
have been consistent in that.
Right.
I may wish that it was otherwise or maybe misinformed. But yeah.
Well, my fear is that the public pressure is somehow going to influence the city, which I hope it will not. But again, I'm trying to adhere to the ordinances that as I read them and understand them. And I want to believe that the public pressure is not going to somehow color the decisions that are being made. And that's what I hope will not be the case going forward.
Nick, I had a similar situation when I moved to town and started doing some work on Kozar Avenue. Because I'm with Newman Munson Architects and they were building this complex, which was a big deal. And there was work, I was doing some work and I had some ground thawing machines overnight. One of the council members called me and threatened to have me arrested that night. And it went on and on and on, but they got over it. Pretty
crazy. Yeah, I'll get over them.
I guess it's a hazing ritual. I'm joining a fraternity. This is a hazing ritual, but I hope at some point it ends because the hazing is a little bit it's wearing me out.
I appreciate you coming because I think this is helpful. You know, with my driveway, for example, I came to council, talked about it. You know, on Melrose, it's very busy. So getting turned around was very important to have a driveway like that. I think, you know, you weren't here during public comment, but I think a lot of the concern related to three different bookings on Airbnb. I think that was the concern. Is that
no, but did you look at them closely or no?
No,
but just so you understand. So one is basically if you want to just rent the master bedroom. As I said, in Airbnb, you're allowed to take the whole home, you're allowed to take part of the home, or you're allowed to take a room in a home. And I think there's actually an ordinance. I think it's, I don't remember off the top of it, but I think it's 110.2. I wrote an email to, but like it literally said that basically, and it's applicable to a dwelling, part of a dwelling, or a habitable room. So again, I'm trying to understand. You're a lawyer. What about this am I doing wrong? Because I don't need to offer, there's nothing in the ordinance says you have to offer only your whole home or nothing.
Right.
It either it needs to say that or it needs to not say that. And right now I can confirm to you affirmatively that it does not say that you're only allowed to offer your whole home.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to tell you just what you had missed is, and I'm not the lawyer in here. I've got a city attorney.
Right.
So I don't look at me as being a lawyer in here. But the concern was the text on your postings allude to the ability of having three separate renters at the same time. I think that was what concerned people. And then I think seeing the sidewalks to the different entrances. So again, I'm explaining this not because I know the rules on Airbnb, because I know probably the least in this room about Airbnb. I'm explaining it because that is what the concern was. And I don't think it was an unreasonable concern for people. It seems like they were, you know, very clear, like, okay, we see now three entry points. Now we look on Airbnb and there's, you can rent the whole house. You can rent the, where Kathy used to live, or the, her bedroom. And then there was, it was implying you'd also be able to potentially at some point rent the basement.
No, that's not true.
Well, I mean, the text on there says,
oh,
something
okay,
to the effect
okay,
of
fair,
if you rent the main space, know that there are two other spaces basically. And so on the,
well,
on
that's Airbnb, more so to tell the person that I might, that's more so to tell the person that I'm going to keep the basement for myself. There's no basement listing there, for the record. So if I choose to rent out the main two floors of my house, that doesn't mean that I'm somehow renting out the basement.
Right. And again, this is coming from
I understand.
Nothing about Airbnb. It was just so you hopefully feel better that people weren't out to get you. It just from the outside perspective, three different entrances are created. It appears there are Airbnb signals three different units. So that is where this.
It looks like we're going to be like, are we going to be housing 16 people in this house? How is this working?
Okay, can you look at the Melrose house, like four doors down from him? They literally rent out the whole home to like a group of 12 people. I'm just trying to understand what is different about that house than my house.
I think these might be Steve questions too.
I'm trying to understand. Like,
I don't know. I'm just trying to get the perspective of people.
No. I understand, but can you point to the ordinance that says there's a safety issue? If you could say, well, there's a fire hazard, then tell me what ordinance points to in rentals that say this is the number of people you're allowed to have in your home. In fact, every room is over 100 square feet, which is habitable for two plus people. So again, we can go into the legality of it if you want, because I've studied this pretty reasonably. I'm not looking to debate it here. But my point is, I'm trying to understand, like what exactly, like, unless you can point to a specific thing I'm doing wrong.
Naveen.
I don't think you are doing anything wrong. I think just there was a perspective that what is going on. And now that you've come and we all are going to be able to relate to neighbors, I'm hoping that you'll feel very welcome to the community and neighborhood.
And I don't even need to be welcome. Like, how about, I don't know how to say this, I just want to be left alone. Like, not by you people, but like, by the people who are like blocking my driveway and like interrogating me.
Naveen,
like, at this point, just leave me alone. Like, that's kind of where I'm at.
That's
I had
not
to
the city,
two
though,
police.
Naveen.
I know. I know that.
That's
I agree
not
with you.
The city.
I agree with you.
I don't think the city is.
I had to do two police service calls because
right.
people were stalking my home.
And the city's been consistent in that you haven't done anything wrong. The city
right.
inspector's.
No,
been
no, I agree with you. I agree.
So,
with you.
So
I agree.
I think
with
the city and the ordinances and the councilors have been consistent.
I agree with you.
I can't stop somebody in the community from coming up and expressing displeasure with what you're doing. I absolutely agree with you. The city needs to be consistent. The city needs to follow its ordinances, and they need to be consistently applied across the community. I would say that they are, unless you can give me an example that they aren't. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be somebody on your street or across town that's upset with it. But I believe we are acting as fairly and consistently as we can towards.
No. I totally agree with that.
Okay.
I guess it's. No, I'll stop there.
A neighbor was here. This is exactly what I was hoping to get. Is what is the law? Is somebody allowed to have three discrete Airbnbs in a home? Four, five? Is there any limit? What is, you know? That's what I was asking about. Yes. Okay.
Do you know that, Steve? I mean, are you an Airbnb person?
Sure.
there's like no state regulations. I mean, it goes into like there's. And you could probably say more, but yeah, it goes into like the city can regulate things where there's no banquet hall, no events. I don't really know what constitutes an event, like within the Airbnbs, and then obviously all the health and safety things, but really there's not much that we get say on as a city. Okay. Sorry.
Were you going to say something?
Sorry,
Terry, you don't have anything to add, right? That yet, or do you have anything to comment on before we end this?
I do
think
not.
now we have a better understanding, and you know who we are and where we are and how to contact us, right?
Yeah, I hope you don't. I hope no one here feels like I'm attacking them, because Troy said, like the city itself has been great. The city administration has been great.
Thank you.
I just don't know how to interpret. Like I've lived in many parts of the U.S. the Northeast, the South. I've never experienced this. And this is supposed to be Iowa nice. Like I don't get it. So anyway, I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming tonight. Thank you, and thank you, Aaron. Okay, so we'll go on to Mayor's report, and as Troy said in his report about the Swisher Woods Trails project, the first order is consideration of motion to set a public hearing on September 22nd at 7 p.m. for the Swisher Woods Trail project. And since this is a procedural thing, I put it under Mayor's report. And so is there a motion? Motion by Lisa, is there a second? Second by Nick. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? Say nay. Okay, motion carries 4-0, one absent. Thank you. Troy will talk more about it during his report. And then we have the consideration of a motion to reimburse the property owner at 300 Kozer, one half the cost of removing a dying tree in the right of way. And Steve spoke with him and communicated. And as you know, the city has paid 50% of partially dead trees for the homeowner. And so Steve spoke with him. Did you have anything to add?
No, he was happy to hear from
this.
Happy to hear from
the
city and happy to pick
now. Yeah. So we can proceed with that. It's on the corner of Kozer and Sunset. And so is there a motion? Motion by Lisa, is there a second? Second by Nick. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries 4-0, 1 absent. And then Steve, did you have anything to add tonight?
No, I meant to send an email saying I didn't have anything to add tonight, but I don't.
Thank you. Any questions for Steve? We'll go on to Troy's report.
Sure.
Thank you.
I want to touch briefly on some of the items in my report, and then there's a second matter we need to discuss also. First of all, I appreciate council's understanding of some of the issues that took me away from the city here in the last month. My report's relatively short because of that. Mostly I wanted to update you on the Swisher Track Trails development. City Engineer Ryan, the mayor, and I met with the design team. The final design is complete. I had sent out, along with my report, to council and staff and the mayor, the final construction documents, which includes some imagery of some of the features, as well as some CAD drawings of the project. The trails project will be bid or presented as two separate projects. They differ enough in construction. One is basically a sidewalk and the other is soft trails. The sidewalk here to the north of OUP will be bid as one project, and then all of the soft trail system as a second. We're going to do the same, we're going to do the timing of it, all the bidding and the issuance at the same time, just to cut down on special meetings and because they do intertwine. However, in talking with Bolts and Mink, it's likely that there will be different bidders for each project because they're completely different in scope and process. The bid packages were prepared by Bolton Mink and sat down, and Ryan Foley was particularly good to have there. Even though some of this falls outside of what his area of experience and expertise is, he was able to help tremendously with timelines and saying, this is a piece that the city can handle, and this is a piece that it'd be better if maybe Bolton Mink took care of. The opinion of probable construction costs for the entire project are come in right around $700,000, and those are the construction costs. That doesn't include the fees that we pay for design or any fees that for a contract that we enter into as far as helping assess the bids and oversight of construction. I know the mayor, and I thought maybe she'd talk about it in her report, but I know the mayor has been exploring some options for maybe soliciting some donor funding for various
things. Yeah, I was going to talk about that a little. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Tentative timetable. I wanted to update this since I was not able to do it last month's report. Notice will go out this week on the public hearing. September 22nd will be the public hearing, which will require a special council meeting. Bids will be due, I believe my timeline is correct, bids will be due October 20th. Those bids will be open then and assessed, and a special meeting will occur on October 27th, at which time hopefully we'll award bids. Preliminary work on the trails could begin as early as November. That could, you know, involve coming in and doing some clearing, some staking, things like that. But the bulk of the work is actually now expected to occur between April of next year, with substantial completion date by June 15th, final completion date by July 15th. That's our current timetable. The projects may not move in parallel with each other once bids are awarded. Yeah, depending on how they're awarded and who gets it, somebody might come in and do all the work early. Somebody might come in later. They might be going on at the same time. Contractual considerations. Bolton Mink is currently engaged to complete the final design and prepare the bid package, which is now two separate bid packages. Once they complete that work for us, they're done contractually with what we engage them to do. In reviewing process now as to what happens next, city staff, and particularly the city engineer, are heavily involved in some other substantial projects right now in University Heights, kind of running at capacity as far as the ability to do the oversight on this. And while the sidewalk portion of it is something that Ryan said he is familiar with and could potentially handle, the soft trails, again, just falls out of that area of experience and area of expertise. And conversation with city staff and with the mayor, I think the council should consider further engaging Bolton Mink to assist with the bid evaluation and the construction oversight. I spoke with Ryan Anderson of Bolton Mink, one of the design teams that we've been dealing with, and I asked him to provide a proposal to me to present to council to fulfill that role. I do not have that yet, but in conversation with Ryan today, for both projects, and doing the work that we talked about when we last met, he expected costs to be around $55,000 for that bid evaluation, assist with us with bid evaluation, and then oversight of the actual construction. Again, I'm not asking for approval or presenting anything to council, but I just want them to be aware. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know off the top of your head when Josh Emmer talks about like the Corbel trails up by Wickham, and when they did those, did Bowman Maine do see the whole thing? Do you know if they saw the whole project through on that? I guess most of that paved was in.
I do not know. Short
city, if their city engineer did it there.
I'll not just know.
Be curious to know what
backyard trails had a role in that. Actually, I think they did some of the construction of that, if I remember correctly. Backyard Trails was under contract with Bolton Mink to come out and stake this, and has had a role in getting this project as far as it is right now. I think that one of the considerations that Bolton Mink had is, would Backyard Trails be a bidder, or would they be willing to stay on as that oversight role, since they know what they're doing and making sure that it's done right.
Okay.
But I don't know who was a motivator.
Okay. I mean, I was just curious.
But. Yeah. So that's the information that I wanted to just bring you up to speed on. I had no update on that for that last month. I do have additional materials. I have the project manuals for each project. They're 50-page documents. They're something that I wasn't sure council would be interested in. If you would like to see those, I certainly can get that information to you. But I thought the construction documents probably had most of the pertinent information that council wanted to see. Are there any questions on the trail system other than the one McKinsey already asked?
I think it's exciting. It's all on us.
And I also think that it's exciting. I think that the city and staff, and I just think we've done a really good job of building momentum on this and building enthusiasm for it. So thank you, McKinsey. I wanted to touch finally on one other item, and that's my Haskett Port. There's a property down there, and I don't need to call it out. If you want to go down there and see it, you're welcome to. The homeowners have two small children. They live on the inside radius of Mahaska Port. They are concerned with speed of vehicles. If you are in that area ever, they have a couple signs along the right of way that ask people to slow down. They approximately 6 weeks ago spoke with a fence installer, a contractor, and expressed a desire to put in a fence in the front yard. And they worked with the contractor. They were assured that what they were doing could be done. They were told they could have up to a 48-inch fence. They didn't want a 48-inch fence. They cut it down to 42. It's a white picket fence. I think it's a very attractive fence. It's been there for 6 weeks, more than 6 weeks now. At some point recently, the female property owner, Christina, began to doubt whether the fence was in compliance, and she contacted me. The city had not received any calls from any neighbors. They'd not received any complaints. She had not received any complaints. She just began to doubt whether it was in compliance. And the issue is, it's on the public right of way. It's a side of the street that does not have a sidewalk, and they took it up to approximately 1 foot off the curb. She was interested in potentially obtaining a variance. In our ordinance, allow variances for fences, don't go to our Board of Adjustment, they come to council. But I spoke with the city, I spoke with Terry and conferred with Terry, and Terry said he could not support a variance if he would say that the city could not issue one. It's basically the right of way is part of the roadway, it's just not paved. And there were all sorts of issues, including liability, problems with snow removal, things like that. I contacted the owner and told her that the owner is a self-described rule follower. She was obviously disappointed. The fence remains there now, but arrangements are being made to either be located or remove it. I wanted council to be aware of it in case you've heard of it now that it's been dealt with by the city, but that's my only comment bringing that up. Any questions about that? Then the last thing that I would like to address isn't included in my report, but it's consideration of a request for amplified sound for a concert at 1009 Melrose Avenue from 2 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. on September 12th, 2026. That's next Saturday. That's the Iowa State home football game. And just as a refresher to council, or maybe they're all aware of this and maybe they aren't, our noise ordinance, which was adopted in 2007, if I remember correctly, is prohibitive. It says that activities can't, like this cannot happen. Really, it breaks things down into, the purpose. Excessive noise is a serious hazard to public health and welfare and the quality of life. The purpose of this ordinance is to establish standards for control of noise pollution that interfere with the comfortable enjoyment of life, property, recreation, or the conduct of business. And then it goes into specific activities provided or prohibited. And there's three under the ordinance. One is construction equipment, and it says it gives period of operation for construction equipment. And the second, the larger section B, is no person shall use, operate, cause to be used, operate any radio player, stereo tape, and it goes on, that any sort of amplified sound. Amplifying sound upon public streets or in any building upon any premises, public or private. And it goes on and it talks about that. And then the section C, the third one, is basically any other loud noises that are prohibited. And it talks about that. Again, it's prohibited. It doesn't outline any process to apply for a permit for it to happen. It just says thou shalt not. Under special exceptions, it talks about FARs, it talks about the city. The city, if they wanted to have a concert in the park, they could. And the city is allowed to make any kind of noise that it wants in the conduct of its business. But nowhere in the exceptions does it say anything about amplified music. The instruction part of it, oh shoot, where did that go? It talks about if I'm doing construction and for some reason I can't conduct the construction that needs to be done during those hours, then I can come to, specifically to city council and I can try to explain that and I can try to get an exemption. But that is only for the construction noise. The amplified music, it talks about closed on me, so I can open it back up here.
Yeah.
Else, thank you. Oh, Mike, it's not in that section.
It's not in that.
Okay. Sorry. It talks about that somebody can shoot. Hold on just a second. I apologize for this. I had it up and my computer shut down. So under the construction, unless a permit thereafter has been obtained from the City of University Heights City Council, that's specifically for construction equipment. Under the amplified music, you remember, Chris?
I was saying that it was in the meeting.
Yeah, I think so too.
We're not even sure.
All right, here. So it talks about all the amplified music, whether it's tape deck, et cetera, et cetera. Unless the person has a permit or express permission from the city. Now, in my 5 years as police chief, when somebody called in and asked about having an event that included amplified music, I'm thinking of cases where they asked for a DJ or a wedding, a small family wedding that they were hosting the reception in their backyard, or a graduation party and they wanted to play music in their backyard. Those requests went to the police department. That inquiry went to the police department. And much like a permission to park, contrary to posted signage, those requests go to the police department and the police department would assess the situation and say, this isn't going to work, or what exactly were you thinking of as far as amplified music? How can we help you make this be a success? Understand that the ordinance is still in effect, and if you try to do this and we get complaints, I'm going to send an officer down, and the officer is going to tell you to either reposition your speakers, turn it down, or shut it off. And if we continue to get complaints, you're going to have to shut it off. But the requests that were considered were always the ones that I have personal experience with, were for some personal event that was happening on the property, and it was relatively small scale. I am told by Mike, the city clerk, and by the mayor that in the past, requests have gone to city council for events such as this. And again, the ordinance doesn't give a process for obtaining a permit. It's prohibitive, but it says unless the city expressly allows it. So when Mike was approached by the organizer of this event, Mike referred him, we contacted the mayor and referred him to city council as far as having it put on the agenda for council to consider. Council certainly can do whatever they want. This is exactly the type of an event that me as an individual person thinks that it'd be great to attend on a football Saturday. But as city administrator and reading through the ordinances, again, I read this to be prohibitive. This event is not the organizer. This is a young and upcoming band that they would like to promote and get some exposure. The property that they're proposing putting it on is down at the corner of Poser and Melrose. Will it excessively contribute to the noise that is already going on the other side of the bridge on a football Saturday? No, I don't think so. I don't think that it will. Will it contribute to fun in the streets? Yeah, I think that it probably will. But I still think the ordinance is prohibitive from a staff's perspective. I think the ordinance is prohibitive. And having dealt with this before, when, for example, the hotel wanted to and did host a band out there, I mean, I think that I believe that the purpose of the ordinance was so that council did not have to consider these on a case-by-case basis and set some very rigid guidelines. It does allow somebody to come in and petition council, and it is certainly within council's prerogative to approve this. But I just wanted to share the history and the my read on the ordinance.
I think that we have council approved football rules and regulations, and I asked Mike to put them up. And I thought putting this on the agenda might be good at the beginning of the season so people can see that this is what council likes. And if you look down, took out maybe number five or so, or
it quotes ordinance 159, which is the ordinance that I was reading, and then it specifically calls out that there's no amplified music.
Yeah, no amplified music. So I think that answers the question. And this is, you know, football. But Troy, it's good to go through the history of it and what our ordinance says. And I think it doesn't need to go in front of the council.
No, a council council certainly has the prerogative to do whatever they want. So I want to make sure that they're aware of that. And the petitioner in this case
unless
was referred to
like
council. So
rules.
I'm letting that happen. I mean, I did not send it to Chris.
And the other thing that's happened was some outdoor vending of merchandise or food on private property. And that also happened this game. And so I think it's good to bring this to the attention of all the residents in a public meeting that these things are not allowed. And unless council wants to consider this, this request.
Can't play music over a speaker?
Not an amplified speaker.
Amplified.
What's the difference?
The regular speakers aren't going to blast like my TV speakers outside get really loud, but not to what a band is. Right.
Well, it can get pretty loud.
Yeah.
And on being
We've had other experiences.
Houses, you know, I mean, we have several houses that live in the news. On both sides of me, they've had big speakers. I mean,
band that very practices on Grand Avenue that uses amplifiers.
You can't, they don't use the amplifier for that. Like you have to like walk it back there.
And an
but
application.
I think the point of this is,
I'm just asking.
We've said that, you know, I think Bing Bang, when there's a reason that we have to do this, the council before Lincoln Avenue,
I have a quick question. The outdoor vending of merchandise. Is food included in that? If I'm paying for all of it, and just the people,
is fine.
Okay.
So the food
crap.
Vending, you're allowed to sell or vend any item that is prepared on there by you. So technically,
like Maggie's came last year, we got ice people coming.
The Girl Scouts couldn't go buy water from the store,
chocolate,
and you know, yet they could make lemonade and sell lemonade.
Okay.
So. And as far as the in application, Tim, as far as the noise ordinance, the noises that are allowed on football game, because it's to the disturbance of the neighborhood, are different than what would be allowed on a Tuesday night. Because if I'm down in Mike's backyard on Golf View, I have to be able to be heard over the sound that is coming. You know, so it's not like there's some whisper ordinance in effect, but it is to the disturbance of the neighborhood. And in this case, particular, it's a band that is playing pure or being asked to perform purely to promote the band.
Yeah, and that event.
But there's no admission being charged. Let me be clear of that. There's no admission being charged. It is purely for exposure for the band.
Are the owners of the property, are they there that day?
They are not. It is a rental property. But the owners, I've not talked to them, but Mike has confirmed that they.
I have spoken to her.
Yes.
And they are aware the resident and the owners that there's a request.
The owner was approached by the organizer or promoter of this event and said, hey, could I do this? And the owners of the property said,
we don't care. In the concert a couple of years ago, Kitty Corner, that was a city function, so that's good.
And that is allowed.
And it wasn't, yeah, it's a football.
I asked the police chief to look at how, I mean, it's on a postage stamp property,
yeah,
in the center of the city with thousands of people going by and the space they'd have, whether they'd be in the front yard or the back yard. And you said you'd check out this last game, what they were doing. Yeah. And I guess you took some pictures.
And before Chris chats, just also for perspective of council, there has been a change in everything. How Stella is doing service across the street. They were directed by city to push their outdoor bar 5 feet, I'm sorry, 3 feet, I believe, closer to the building, in part because the city was concerned about the congestion on the sidewalk and street and the ability of people to move freely past. Perfect. I think that same that concern McKinley comes in, yeah, if you've got a fan.
Oh, when I walk by,
you're looking to push, and I was last year at that point. Yeah,
I think that it's reasonable to have that same concern if a band is playing across the street.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, Chief, you were going to report. You have some pictures.
I've got four photographs, three of the backyard. The backyard is pretty well eaten up by parking. When I went back there, there was probably, I'm going to guess or estimate between 50 and 75 people, maybe a few more in there. Parking, like I said, it eliminated, the cars are only one deep, but it ate up a lot of the parking stall. The front of the building has had a recent remodel. If it were to occur there, the backyard would be the better choice of the two. But with the parking, I don't think that's possible. And the front yard, I think, would do something similar to what Stella's would do, where it's pushing people out, especially if there was any attendance at all. And there, my understanding is the gentlemen that are in this band are local, so they would have, I would imagine, a small or a following of sorts. So that's that would be the front yard as it was set up on Saturday. And there is some parking, some vehicles parked there, but also a number of people tailgating and picnicking.
The bottom line, staff thinks it's a fun event, but that it's contrary.
I'd agree. Thanks for doing that, Chief. Thank you. Does council want to consider this? Sorry, interested in considering this?
I'm going to warm up because it's not just this and to find out. It's so depressing. And then we go back to where we were going to put my house on the back.
Well, and then you're saying some future people will say, well, they had, how can we say no to them?
Exactly. Or they won't even bother. They'll just say, oh, they had a band. What happened? I mean, I know this has happened.
And my concern was just that we've already set the precedent to the pattern.
We still have the ability to have people complain that what they're being stirred by and have to really say something to you, but if we kind of lose that, if we say, oh, I don't know.
I think I didn't hear, Nick would say, but if you're not disagreeing.
I mean, I think the precedent is you can make noise, but if you have a neighbor complain, then it'll get shut down.
And that is much easier to do when police have had contact with them first, and it's again a speaker in the backyard for a graduation party, as opposed to a band that's playing. It's an advertised event for people to come listen to the band. The reaction is hugely different when the organizers of that graduation party, first of all, are trying to comply and not disturb their neighbors, and know that they might have to shut it off, and it doesn't create that potential riot in the street before it's there.
mission for you to go and explain that.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna ask a personal question, but just because I want to make sure I'm not like making an exception for myself. So in the past, we have had a food truck, and this weekend have someone coming that I've gotten permission to park on Prospect Place in the street for the couple hours that they're there. Should I have them park on my lawn?
Are they like, selling food?
I purchase it. It's all prepaid for.
You're just giving it away.
But I've gotten permission to park on the street before, and if that's not allowed, then I shouldn't be an exception, correct?
That's basically catering.
Yeah,
I'm saying because I have them parked on the street, and we don't do street parking. Am I getting the except? Is that an exception that?
No.
Okay. It's, like, should I have them park in my grass?
I think you ought to have them parked on the lot.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
They're
going to
be the.
I mean, why do you get to park on the street and I don't get? Neighbor. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want it to look like I give an exception by doing.
If they are serving from the truck as opposed to unloading from the truck, I think that would be.
Okay, so I'll have them pull up on the purpose.
I mean, you're talking game day.
Yeah.
Right.
And okay.
Asking.
So yeah, I don't unfortunately.
That's what happened.
Thanks for going through that, Troy. Did you have anything else?
I do not. Aaron, I apologize for being long-winded, but you all know me by halves.
Thank you very much. We'll go to the city clerk report. Mike, who sent around a report.
My report was longer than usual, too. We're starting to receive regular public records requests, and the four that I included this month, three all came from the same place. And basically, it's an AI data center that's looking to scrape information. So we've got a pretty good system now of doing keyword searches for what they're looking for. And I happened to reply to them yesterday at 11 o'clock, you know, on Labor Day that, we don't have any of those. Immediate response back. Well, thank you. We'll take that off our list. So, I think that's going to come pretty regularly. Now, I will say we did have one additional. I don't know if anybody ever looked through all this. We did actually have a student ask us, and it was somebody from a Iowa City school district address. So I'm sure it's either a West Side Story or the Little Hawk newspaper asking about the city's dealing with flock cameras, to which I could also say, nope, we haven't done anything. So you may see more of these as they come along, because I think that's what it is. It's a lot of data scraping, and that's what they want, is to look for stuff from us there. I do have one other fun thing to talk about. Sunday, October 4th, the Johnson County Historical Society will be having their annual celebration of history event right here in the community center. They reserved the community center. This is their annual meeting as a nonprofit, and they are going to focus on University Heights, and they've got some guy speaking for 15 minutes about University Heights history.
What day is that?
That's Sunday, October 4th.
Some guy.
Some guy who may be telling you about it. So... I think I've got 15 minutes worth of material, I think. So, but that'll be there. And they're going to have refreshments and things. There are tickets that are free. They just want to get a count to get an idea for how much food to bring and things like that. So I'll make sure that Lisa gets the full details and puts them on the webpage. But since it's before next month's meeting. This month's meeting is as early as possible. Next month's meeting is almost as late as possible. So, yeah. So, just to let you know about that, but that's all I have.
Thanks. And if any questions for Mike, we'll go on to John Brown, the treasurer's report, payment of the bills. Hi, John.
Thank you very kindly, Mayor. Business as usual for the city. A few items that Ryan will speak to. I do have one item to add to this, the warrants at Terry Brothers Ford for $150 for vehicle maintenance. And like I said, business as usual, but the local options sales tax deposit that came in this month is drastically lower. and what we've been given. So me and my esteemed colleague, Steve Poole, will be meeting tomorrow for other things, but we're going to try to do some intel on the same six project that city, because other neighboring municipalities have engaged that and Rumbosh sales tax. Looks like this could be an aberration, or it could
summer
be.
Is slower sometimes, you know, and once fall picks up, I don't know. But
what,
I
what was the difference?
I'm sorry, I got fourth.
Oh, really?
Oh, I mean, we got more than 5 grand. I mean, it's like drastically. It's enough that Steve and I are going to get together. If I figure out, can maybe it's an aberration, we're going to try to get some intel, talk to area colleagues.
They miscounted it.
Well, no, it's always possible. I'm not trying, I'm not chicken little saying the sky is falling. I'm just saying, hey, we got something that's really caught our eye, but we're going to look into it and we're going to get the intel and then
thanks.
Out to you because. You know, I don't want to ignore it and get mid year or whatever. Like, oh, we got money problems. Why? Yeah.
So, with that addition to the warrants, you have the list of warrants are there along with Ryan's payments that he asked for. Is there any other additions or corrections, or are there any objections to paying the warrants? Hearing none, the warrants will be paid by unanimous consent. Thank you. Thanks for pointing that out. We'll look into that. Yeah. We'll go on to finance. Do you have anything this month, Nick?
No.
Thank you. We'll go to community protection, and the chief is here. And I saw your report.
I don't have a lot to add to the report. Saturday was an experience. We had a lot of heat, and that didn't help anybody, but everything was manageable. And it went, the game pretty much went off without too many complications. So.
And then it was terribly hot.
Yes.
And I know you said you got water for everyone. I saw you had water with carrying with you. That was very good.
We
did that.
We're getting better and better about stocking the golf cart and what we have on it, anywhere from medical needs to water to things like that. So, and it's probably there, the bicycles are probably the best ways to get around this city or at game day.
Any questions for Chief? Thank you very much. Mackenzie, did you want to add anything this month?
No.
Okay. We'll go on to engineers, of course. Well, we don't have much, right, Ryan?
Still,
what a busy
still moving forward.
Yeah, it's been a busy month to try to, especially as you talked about last month, we had some projects that were kind of, I guess I'd say stalling out right a little bit, taking a long time, but thankfully I'm happy to report that the one in particular, the street got paid back just in time for what else. So I did issue just an updated report with the holiday yesterday. I wasn't able to get all the signed documents I usually need for my report to issue to you. Like we asked for updates to pay applications, changes in quantities around. So I got most of that. I got all that stuff this morning once everybody was returned from the holiday. So I included those signed versions with my updated report that I sent out this morning. I would just kind of go through the lists, hopefully fairly quickly here. The Melrose Complete Street project, we did submit. The design team finished up and submitted the check plan submittal to the DOT, Iowa DOT. So the DOT does review. We have a couple spots where we had some water main work to try to avoid conflicts with the design, the storm sewer design. So we'll have to review that with City by our city this month as well. And then we have a final plan submitted to the DOT on October 20th. So those dates are rigid. They have to be done by those dates in order to hit the letting, the bid dates for the DOT's scheduling. Our RFPs at Sunset and Oakcrest. So this one, I did receive a final invoice from New Miller Electric for the our RFPs, the new poles and flashing beacons at Sunset and Oakcrest Street. So this one I do have a resolution for, just to make sure I read it off correctly. So resolution number 2661 is accepting the Sunset Street and Oakcrest Avenue rectangular rapid flashing beacon RRFB signs from project as completed. And that is essentially just to release retainage. We'd already paid for all the project work up to this point, except for the retainage amount of $668.16. So the invoice number two is final from New Miller Electric, was included in the warrants as well. So
moved.
We'll do that now for the motion. Yeah, second.
I'll second.
Second by Tim. Okay, discussion. Roll call vote.
Second.
Still right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales absent. Motion carries 401 absent.
And I haven't heard any complaints from the police department yet for the start of school year up there. So hopefully that's going pretty well.
It is.
All right.
It is. The young people are becoming very accustomed to it. Without that, they're checked.
Yeah. Excellent. It's good to hear. Melrose Avenue, 2026 electrical service relocations. I did have an agenda item here to approve award of this contract. I decided to defer that to the special meeting we have planned for the 22nd in a couple weeks here. A couple of reasons, which I laid out in my report, but one was mostly Tim Greenwood from Steve's office was working on an agreement with Paul Moore for some reimbursement of the electrical upgrades he wanted made to the system. So those were included with our design and our bid package. And so just wanted to give us a little bit more time to get that coordinated with Paul, make sure everybody feels good and comfortable for signing that. And also so I can report to Paul what the bid numbers were, and then also give me a little more time to follow up with this bidder and get some experience. The couple of electrical engineers I spoke with hadn't worked with this contractor before. They are headquartered out of Minnesota. They do work in Wisconsin, Iowa, the Dakotas, generally the Midwest and region. They do a lot of solar work. I'm told schools, CNOs and stuff of that nature. So I'm just going to follow up with them some more on some example projects. So the 1007, 1009 Melrose Avenue driveway improvements. Sod was installed. You saw photos of that rear yard new driveway. It was parked on this weekend. So they've been watering that sod. We are in punch list. We issued a punch list to the contractor. We're just wrapping up a few things. I'll probably reach out to them to see if I can get a pay app potentially for the special meeting in September and try and get that one caught up. They didn't submit anything this last week. Overhead to underground joint utility trench. We've got constructions completed from the bridge to 1135 Melrose, which is to the west of the curve around Melrose. They weren't able to provide extra crews and work due to the ongoing road construction at George Street. So I'm told they would have mobilized extra crews and more rigs if they had the opportunity in the space to work. So that project is behind schedule, but they'll work in between games, and hopefully they should be, I believe they should be done by the end of September now, but they'll have to mobilize in and mobilize out every week for the three home games in a row here and clean things up. And they'll have to do shorter, smaller segments of boring or trenching the new conduits in, around the George Street cul-de-sac and Melrose Avenue area. So that project, we do have a change order on the agenda tonight, or in my report tonight. This was for some extra work at the hotel driveway. They hit an unmarked water service. I believe it's to the residential property that Greg Stillner owns right there at the entrance. So they had to do an emergency repair and remove pavement there that wasn't anticipated to be removed. So We had line items for 8-inch pavement, modified subbase, and pavement markings to replace the pavement markings that were on the for Greg there at the hotel. So there's that work. And then Mid-American Electric, in our discussions with them during design, they indicated they would handle installation of conduits from secondary enclosures, which are panels between their system and then the private services, the meters at the couple residential properties. During construction, they've asked if we would have Midwest Underground install those. So we did not have a line item for the size conduit, the 2.5-inch conduit that they need for that. So this change order also adds a line item with a unit price of $14 a linear foot of install only. The conduit is provided by Mid-American Electric. So the total cost of that change order is $4,564.50. So I don't know if we could have a simple motion just to approve that change order. Mike.
So moved.
Motion by Nick, second by McKenzie. So this is a simple motion. All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor, say aye. Anyone opposed? Motion carries 4-0 and 1 absent. Thank you, Ryan.
And then for that same project, the joint trench project, we had a pay application. Pay application number 2 was for $137,213.22. We reversed and agree they represent the amount of work that was performed since last pay application. So recommend approval of that amount, and it's included in the warrant. So this was already approved. So
spirit episode action.
Back up here.
You need to do that right now.
I don't think I need anything extra, unless anybody's
got. Is that on the warrants?
It's on the warrants, yeah. So okay. I don't need anything special for that, unless okay. Anybody's got it.
Thank you. I thought I saw it under warrants.
Yep. Yeah, it was included in warrants. Yeah, so there's more detail in the report on that, all that stuff. But Melrose Avenue panel replacements. This is the project that was supposed to be from Sunset down to George Street, replacing panels on Melrose and doing some underground utility work along Melrose and at the George Street intersection. We have reduced their scope down to just finish what they had started, which is detailed in my report here, by issuing an instruction to the contractor to just finish the phase that they had begun and then not continue the remaining phases of work, which would have included a detour on Mars Avenue, as we've talked about or discussed. They got the paving in. They completed the final segment of sidewalk today on the west side of George Street. So they got that removed and replaced today. So all things are looking pretty good for this weekend, that we shouldn't have a huge muddy mess over there. They should be able to get the rest of that area rocked in on 1215 Melrose.
That was the part they damaged. Is that another place there?
No, this is just part of the original stuff. The damaged parts, I'm probably going to, we'll talk about that in our next progress meeting. Okay. I think I'm going to probably have them wait until we have a 3-week window in October, or at least in a way or by week to start. And then they can, they have some driveway pavement they've damaged and some sidewalks they've damaged that we'll need to remove and replace. So, we just haven't gotten that far quite yet, but that would be kind of a punch list level sort of wrap up thing, and the gravel and next yard that I got to get from there. I might have to take a 5-gallon bucket my head around.
Are you going to wash down that street again before Iowa State? Yeah, it's so dusty. Residents are upset.
There's potential. I'll speak with. They're just not really responding to my requests to do certain things.
Well, it might rain tonight. It's supposed to rain 3 inches.
It's a rain.
Severe thunderstorm watch till 19.
So.
Here it is. 100% chance of rain tonight. So.
I.
Oh yeah.
Emergency managed. I just thought of that.
This project I've also got, they have an intake left to set, and then for the street, the intake throw back, and then they'll just be backfilling sodding the parkways. Just so council knows, I think this is new since our last meeting. I spoke with both properties on either side of George Street, and both elected to have their yards rocked in for the football season. So they will remain locked until we next spring. We will have to dig that out and saw the yards next spring, just due to the amount of area that was disturbed down there. We would have been sodding the entire yards just for them to be destroyed with football traffic. We did the same thing at the hotel empty lot for Greg Stillmer, where he agreed to let the joint trench contractor store equipment and materials there, which was very beneficial and helpful for their operation. They've also rocked in the areas where they disturbed. We left as much grass as we didn't need to take out. Right. For the Melrose patching, we have a change order here also. This one is essentially just working days that they requested for various reasons. There's no extra cost associated with this one. The other thing that's added is I'm just putting this change order that we did reduce the scope of work for them, and that we will suspend liquidated damages on Fridays through Mondays on home game weekends so that they're not being charged damages when we're essentially asking or forcing them to leave town with their equipment. So not providing an option, right, to work on Saturdays. So that's what that change order is. Like I said, there's no additional cost associated. So I get, again, another simple motion on that change order for approval. It adds 3 working days.
So moved.
Seven.
Okay, motion 7. This is simple motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Does anyone oppose? Motion carries 4-0 and 1 absent. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, and that project application, pay application number 3 for $78,000. $79.18, which was included in the warrants list as well. Thanks, John. I got that in late today, this morning. So, we had for that. No, I shouldn't.
That's on the.
Yeah. So it was in the warrants. So.
Okay, thank you.
And also included in the warrants was another invoice number 2 for our payment marking work. LL Paneling was waiting on that road project contractor before painting the west side of the Bossier Melrose intersection. And then the restriping between Sunset and Kosher was included with that project work. So luckily Pelling was the sub on that work, so they got that all done last week. It should be all completed, but this invoice is strictly for the city's repayment marking scope. So it was $254.62. So the only invoice remaining for that one will be the retainage next one. Didn't have much updates on sidewalk repair. Just a reminder that there's going to be a Grand Avenue Sunset intersection water main work happening. I didn't get a chance to get an update from Iowa City, but what they told me last month was September timeframe was what they were looking at that. So I'll reach out to them for updates. Then we had MediaCom submit a couple of right-of-way permits to add the new electric meters that we've approved new addresses for. So we'll be issuing right-of-way permits.
I wanted to ask this MediaCom, what are electric meters?
I don't know what there's. I think it probably looked like a pedestal meter similar to where poles added for the speed cameras that never went up, right? Like a closure. It's a meter. They need a power source apparently to power an amplifier for their system. And I'm not an expert on their coax or fiber networks, but they run both coax and fiber, and they now use like amplifiers to increase their signal strengths, is my understanding from speaking with them. So they have to play.
So they're going to screw up my internet again.
Yeah.
Is that what that
means? Probably a couple times. Yeah. They will have an electric service there now at those 2 locations that we approved addresses for in order to install these amplifiers. For power.
So
that's all I've got.
Any questions for Ryan?
At the moment.
I heard a lot of compliments about you getting that Melrose open from people outside of University Heights who pay attention.
Yeah, I had a lot of people calling me who had their football partners calling them.
Yeah.
Ask, will my response be available? And even the guys from Midwest Underground on Graves Lock, were there were people that worked for Advanced Traffic Control that parked there that were messaging them.
They were pleasantly and, surprised.
A whole lot of people interested on that.
Hopefully, yeah. Even better before Iowa State.
Yeah, I would like to say, I guess, just on behalf of the folks in my office on that Melrose and George Street intersection. We had a lot of staff coming out at the request of the contractor for various reasons, for compaction testing, for concrete testing, for survey, for construction staking, and things weren't ready, right? So they made a lot of extra trips that they normally would not make. They were rescheduling things because I was asking them to, you know, pushing other work off. And working late. Well, a couple of us came in on Saturday, which then got canceled due to rain, but for paving course and things. So I'm just glad that everybody dealt with my requests and we got that time before football. See you.
So appreciate your efforts. Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for Ryan? I mean, he's been through enough.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. We'll go to Building Sony Sanitation. Do you have any update?
No.
Okay, we'll go to Peak Government. You sent around a report. And do you have any questions for Lisa's report? And does anyone have announcements?
That I will not be here next
you
week.
Do?
Next month. There, I will not. I will be in Italy, so I will not be here next month. Anything.
You have another meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, we're both.
We'll go on to adjournment. Is there any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for coming.